Welcome back to another episode of the Pax What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And I don't know if you heard, some pretty exciting news happened over the weekend. You know, probably was it the day after we got done recording our whole show about how it was going to happen very soon. And then, ta-da, the Packers and Jordan Love reached an extension, 4 years, $55 million a year with, God, I don't even know how much money in guarantees, like 200. Yeah.
155 guaranteed, 75 mil signing bonus.
Which was really smart of the Packers to do, is to put a chunk of that guaranteed money directly into a signing bonus so they can spread it out the rest of that 4 year deal. But let's talk instant reactions to the deal. I know we had kind of speculated that it wasn't going to be like what we were seeing from some of the other deals, like the Trevor Lawrence deal. And then, of course, a couple hours earlier, we got the Tua extension that he got like 52 something million a year for a 4 year deal. Then all the birds started chirping that there was another 4 year deal in the works. So what did you think when you saw that? Was it about what you expected?
I think it's a great deal. It's a great deal for both sides. I definitely am a little, it's so a little jarring to see Jordan Love be the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. I think like we have always believed in him, and clearly the Packers brass have always believed in him, but it's not a known, it's not a given like across the league that everyone else believes in him. And so like to make that kind of statement with his contract, it's a really big deal for the Packers to do something like that. Like you can't really back your guy much harder than to make him the highest paid quarterback. And just like the journey that Jordan's been on, to have it, you know, get culminate in this moment, like to see that $220 million deal come through after like everything, like you remember like the draft and all the vitriol afterwards and him sitting and you don't even know if he's going to play and you don't even know if he's going to be good. And then it's here now and he is the guy. It's just been a really wild ride. And you and I were talking, I think, offline, obviously, you know, back and forth a ton when this came out, and he is just the easiest guy to root for. He really yes. is. Like, his demeanor has never wavered. He's never changed. He has always been like a consummate professional. He's always put in the work and put his head down and just like gone about his business. And he showed up last season and showed out and showed everyone like why he deserves to be a starter and be the Packers like franchise quarterback. And he deserves this contract so much. So that was kind of my reaction, was just like pure elation for him and for the franchise. And I thought it was a huge statement and one that was deserved for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw, you know, the trajectory that his season was on, and I saw like Dusty Evely and some other, you know, Packers people pointing out that the first 8 games of the season, it's not like he was playing bad football, right? No. It was just that all of the other circumstances around him weren't perfect. The offensive line, the receiving core was so young, and to look at the numbers that he was able to put up and the season that he was able to have getting comfortable with the youngest offense in the NFL, like shows what this Packers roster is capable of, you know, long-term, I think. And one of the things that we were talking about a little bit pre-show that we wanted to touch on too was Andrew Brandt had a really nice point too about this being a 4 year deal for Love, who gets to renegotiate right before he turns 30. So potentially another large contract when the market is higher, could be at 60, mm-hmm. 65 mil a year at this point. So potentially a bargain for the Packers, but also a really nice bargaining chip for Jordan to be able to get into the market one deal sooner than some of these other guys who have to wait 5 years for that.
Exactly. And I think that was probably what the sticking point was. Now that the deal is out, like whether it was 4 or 5 or 6 years, I'm sure that's where they were at. Jordan wanting to hit the market earlier, the Packers probably wanting to lock him up for longer and not having to negotiate again, because negotiating again, as we've seen, is not always fun and easy. But 4 years, 55 is like kind of where it shakes out, like you said. And that's kind of exactly around, I think, where we all expected it to be. But the guaranteed money and the signing bonus is always like a big question mark. And I think it fits nicely. I mean, 75 mil up front is a big chunk of change. But as we've also noted, that kind of clears up some salary cap for the Packers and allows them to clear some money out and also just not have his contract be so heavy, so they can pay guys like Kenny Clark and pay all of the other many notable players that they're going to have coming down the pipeline in the next few seasons. So there's a lot of cap Tetris that I'm sure that they were thinking of as well when they did this, and Jordan gets his money and the Packers get to, you know, have their books be a little bit more open. You had the numbers, so correct me if I'm wrong. But I think it's somewhere he jumps up to like 20 to 25 million, sorry, just over 20 million on the cap next season. And then it should leave them 20 to 25 mil on the salary cap this year. So going from 12 million to just over 20 is like not actually the biggest jump in salary cap, especially when you are given like this mega contract. And if you think about it, I mean, Aaron Rodgers was what, 40 million on the cap when he did his big extension. So could be worse. Could be much worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think before we shift topics, something else that we had talked about that Rob Domofsky tweeted, you know, shortly after the extension was just how funny, you know, I mean, times have obviously changed. The market looks a lot different than it did, but Aaron Rodgers signing a 5-year, $65 million deal in 2008 after his first season as a, or becoming his first season as a starter. And now we're looking at Jordan Love getting a $55 million a year contract for a 4-year deal. So just, boy, if you have kids and you want them to make that kind of money, NFL quarterback clearly is it's the path in the future.
You get a 1 in 32. You get 32 shots to do it. Out of millions, yeah. I do think that Rob did have a really interesting point in that article too that I wanted to bring up with you, because, like I said, there's been a lot of discourse around, you know, and you did already just mention this. It's like, oh well, you know, he only had 8 games and blah, blah, blah. And I can't believe the Packers gave him this big deal and highest paid QB. What did he show? Except I think everybody listening understands we do not follow that logic. Jordan showed more than enough. But Rob pointed out that this is actually not the first time the Packers have given a big contract to a quarterback after only playing a handful of games. And I put a handful of games in quotes because Jordan played a full season. They did this with Aaron Rodgers, right? Aaron Rodgers did not play a full season before they gave him that aforementioned, you know, 4-year, 65.
7 games only.
Yes. So they knew, they could tell, they saw it. They saw enough to believe what they had in their starters. Not for nothing, both players had been in the building at that point for years. So it's more than just obviously play on the field has to, you know, be what it was. But this isn't, oh, they've only been in the building for 7 weeks or it's 7 weeks into their rookie season. These are guys who have been part of this organization 4 years, and the Packers feel immensely confident that they're going to be able to lead this organization 4 years to come. So it's not the first time they've done this. It's not the first time Brad Gutekunst has been part of this, because he was there for the Aaron Rodgers era right from the start under Ted Thompson. So it just doesn't surprise me at all that they made this move. They also, you know, obviously had to in order to keep Jordan Love. So like there wasn't really a choice. But I think, you know, some people making some of those comments should probably just like brush up on their Packers history a little bit.
Well said. Let's shift gears then and talk about the Packers coordinators. They met with the media for the first time throughout training camp. There was no actual practice today. We're recording here on July 29th, but we did get to hear from offensive coordinator Adam Stanovich, defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley, and special teams coordinator Rich Bisaccia. So anything, you know, notable that you heard or saw from those pressers that really stuck out to you? Because I know certain sound bites always kind of make the rounds, but was there anything like that really kind of caught your interest when you heard from those guys?
Well, I mean, the first thing before today was just that like there were practices before today after the extension. So like we did get to see Jordan go back to practice.
Yes.
So I do just want to like touch on that really quickly. So we did get, I think it was two practices with Jordan back. And I think it was like a night and day difference from what I heard. A little rust coming off, but clearly like the offense was starting to click a little bit more. And the receivers, you're just starting to see a little bit more coming out of practice about like how the receivers are doing. So just good to see. I think you mentioned it before we started recording, but family night is coming up Saturday, which is, you know, it's just a practice, but it's a little bit more of like an elevated practice in front of a stadium full of fans. And you want to make sure that Jordan is back for that. They're going to start to have their preseason games. We don't know how much he's going to play, but I think before we, you know, go into what the coordinators were saying, because I think it's important, it was good. They needed him back, right? And everyone was like, oh, well, how long is this going to drag out, blah, blah, blah. I don't think either you or I were concerned about it dragging out too much longer. But I think it was a collective sigh of relief, I'm sure, from everyone, including all the coaches and the coordinators, just to have Jordan back, especially because they want to see all their players going up against QB1 at the best, right?
Yeah, so I mean, I think definitely, and Adam Stanovich kind of touched on that today. Yeah. You know, they asked him about his rookie quarter or his younger quarterbacks, I should say, Sean Clifford, not a rookie, obviously, but he just kind of said, like, look, you know, they're young guys, they're in a tough spot, they've got to learn from their mistakes, like everything that you would expect him to say. But it is invaluable to them not only to have those reps, but to have Jordan Love back to model for them what that looks like. But something else, you know, that really stood out to me from the Stanovich presser was his comments on Jordan Morgan, you know, because I think that is a fair question, right? You drafted somebody that identifies himself as a left tackle, played in like college as a left tackle, wants to be a left tackle in the NFL. And then he comes to Green Bay and they're looking at him at right guard. And kind of what he said was, we wanted to find or identify the spot on the offensive line where we thought he had the best shot of being a year one starter. And right now that was the right guard spot. Left tackle, you know, Rashid Walker is kind of holding that one down right now and has played really, really well. Zach Tom is absolutely not going to give up his right tackle spot. So whatever happens with center, like Jordan Morgan wasn't going to come in and play center. So what the Packers are really doing is saying he can probably play a tackle spot for us later on, which they've done, you know, with other offensive linemen as well. But right now in this moment, if we want him to be a starter, it's probably going to be at right guard. And it's new to him. Like playing guard is not his forte, but it seems like the athleticism that they expect him to have is going to transition. So it seems like they're really excited about what he can do now and in the future.
I did find that interesting too, because you weren't sure if, you know, they even wanted to move him around just from like a development standpoint. If like you drafted him as a tackle, you want to develop him as a tackle, and so he's going to stay a tackle. And if that meant sitting him potentially for a season, that meant sitting him. But it's clear that they drafted Jordan Morgan in the first round. They want their first round talent on the field. And if that means putting him outside of potentially his like original comfort zone, that means developing him as a guard. But they would prefer to have, you know, their high end talent on the field versus sitting, which is, I mean, good, right? You want your first round pick to start. But it's interesting because it's actually not necessarily what I would have expected. I don't know if you agree or not.
Yeah, I do. And I think it's telling too, you know, because they asked him about Rashid Walker. And one of the things he said was that like, he had shown enough that they feel really comfortable with him being in that starting spot. And I think that was the biggest question mark going into the draft, right? Is like, he had some really good playoff games. He started to look really good at the end of the season, but did he lock down the job? And by all accounts, at least out of early training camp and from what he put on tape last season, yeah, they are really comfortable with him there. So I think the biggest question mark for me with Jordan Morgan was how difficult it would be to play left tackle and then switch to the right side of the line. And I know you don't want to get too many pieces. Like, you don't want to move Elton Jenkins to right guard, but we've seen Elton, you know, have the ability to play everywhere. So to be Jordan and trying to learn a new position on the interior, but then also have to flip like your entire mechanics has to be really challenging. So, you know, kudos to him for, it sounds like, being able to really lock in and perform well there.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to hear from, you said Steno. We also got to hear from Rich Bisaccia, who got to talk a little bit about the new kickoff rules. And then we also got to hear from Jeff Hafley. And I think, I don't know about you, but I feel like I eat up like everything that Jeff Hafley says at this point, because it's all we got. It's really all we got.
Yeah, it's all talk. So
yeah, until we get a game, it's all we have from him. But he had a lot to say. He had a lot of praise for that entire side of the ball, which, as he should. I mean, it, by all accounts, it looks like the defense has been totally dominant in camp so far. And again, they haven't been going up against QB1, so we'll see how the rest of camp goes. But there are kind of two things that stood out, right? One being us not a surprise, and another being like, just like, you know, noted. First is just obviously calling out Rashawn. I think I've been seeing a lot of talk from camp just around how aggressive Rashawn has been in practice. You know, he came off the ACL last season and he naturally had a good season, but not the kind of season that you expect from Rashawn Gary. I mean, you expect like greatness from him. And there were definitely times we talked about a ton, right? After games where we're like, you know, why isn't he finishing plays? Or like, why are the stats like not showing up? And so I think, I don't know if it's injury related, whatever it is, but if he's back fully healthy, it seems like the energy is there and he's going to be really disruptive this season, I think, in this new defense. But more than that, like, Rashawn is such a leader and on a really young team, like, it can't be understated. So I love that Jeff like just called that piece out too, right? And just like that he's pulling guys aside after practice and talking to everyone and making sure the intensity is there and, you know, addressing that side of the ball all the time. And he notices a difference after Rashawn Gary speaks. So I love hearing that. And the other piece, he had a lot to say on the rookie safeties, a lot. And that's nice to hear because we know that the rookie safeties are going to have to play. They're going to have to start the season. But he had just like a lot of praise for them, not just on their athleticism but on their like instincts and their football IQ. So they're in the building late, watching film. They go to every meeting, extra meetings, et cetera. They think, he just thinks they're going to be big playmakers. So just like note that like work ethic, because I think that seems to be a theme across the board from this rookie class. And hopefully it translates.
Yeah, I thought, you know, those comments again were what you'd expect and hope and want to hear, but always really nice when coaches are so effusive in their praise of players that we're excited about. So two other names, you know, that I've been really curious to see how they would do in camp is the linebacking core, because, you know, we've heard about Quay Walker a ton. We know that it's kind of like his middle of the defense. And then, of course, they drafted Edge Cooper. They drafted Hopper. Like, these are guys that are really athletic and fun to watch and fly around. Andy Herman mentioned already that Hopper's been in the backfield on every, like, a run play a day. It feels like that he's either stuffing at the line or getting into the backfield for. So the Packers have young athletic options. So it was interesting to hear Jeff Hafley specifically mention Eric Wilson and Isaiah McDuffie, because I think they probably are your linebackers 4 and 5. It would surprise me if the Packers didn't carry 5 inside linebackers. So I think that's probably your 5, but really good things to say about Isaiah McDuffie, who of course we know that he worked with in Boston College. And then Eric Wilson, you know, kind of said that he's a really talented football player, can play anywhere, but is also like a better person, you know? So those are the guys that are always really easy to root for. So I'm curious to see how this Packers defense, you know, we talk, of course, about nickel being the base of defense now, and it's not really a 3-4 or a 4-3, but he talked about Isaiah McDuffie's first time playing in like a stack linebacker role in a 4-3. So I'm curious to see if we get like more of these little sprinkles or get any type of inkling of what it'll look like to see a third inside linebacker on the field, like during the preseason.
Yeah, for sure. Preseason's tough because you'll probably never get like the true defense.
Right.
So we don't want to put everything like real on tape, but we might get a taste, a little taste.
Just a little look. At least we'll get three rookie inside linebackers out there. You know, like glimpses.
100%. So we have a few more practices this week. And I think we touched on it a little bit, you know, and like we said, there's family night Saturday, but what are we looking at this week? What do we have our eye on?
I really like this question because I think that there's so much that we've expected to hear and we've seen some really good things. But to me, I think something that I'm waiting to kind of see how it shakes out is the wide receiving core, because we know who we think like the core four are going to be. It's not really surprising. But like Adam Stanovich again today mentioned Romeo Doubs and said he brings something new every season and his route running has just improved tremendously. And he's always had the strong hands, but now he's like more elusive and evasive when the way that he runs routes, which is really cool because we're talking about an offense that, you know, we think that there's going to be a wide receiver one and we think it's probably Jaden Reed, but that's kind of been the identity of this offense, is that there isn't like a true wide receiver one. So seeing his jump, seeing Watson back fully healthy, seeing how Reed integrates into that in his second season, Wicks, and then seeing where the bottom of that shakes out. Like, is it Bo Melton? Is it Malik Heath? I know Grant DuBose at some point of camp was starting to impress. So just, I think that's where my focus is like, who are the bottom of the depth chart weapons that Jordan Love is going to be throwing to?
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned Grant DuBose because he got a lot of, I saw his name all over the place this weekend, which is a surprise because it's not a name you see often. Super quiet. You know, he was drafted and then you heard nothing, but it's his second season. So, maybe just took a second to develop, but those, like you said, that bottom half of the group, those are going to be the guys who are going to be playing in preseason games. They're the guys who are going to be fighting for their roster spots. So they're who we should be watching. But I agree with you that just like the wide receiver core as a whole, now that Jordan's back, I kind of want to just like hear a little bit more. They've been a little quiet.
Yeah, I think I'm also really intrigued by this edge unit because it is so deep. It feels like there's 20 pass rushers on this roster and we know who four of them will be, right? Like it's Rashawn, it's Preston, it's Lucas Van Ness, and it's JJ Anagbari. And we're assuming he can start the season. It sounds like he avoided some really bad injury news. But I know like Brenton Cox is a really popular name with fans who's played really well. But who else? Like there's just a ton of edge rushers on this roster. And I think it's one of the more fun positions to watch kind of in the preseason because it's so live. Like you basically get to the quarterback and you're disruptive, you know, like it's really easy to tell who's performing well at that position in the preseason. So that's another one that it feels like they're going to have to sort out because I don't know how many they keep, probably five. I don't know if they would go six with the D-line being as stacked as it is.
Yeah, it's a tough one. And I think similarly to the wide receivers, the top half of that group is pretty set.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, who's the one, maybe two, that sneaks into that group and sticks to the roster? It's going to be a tough battle.
Yeah, I don't want to keep taking them. But I feel like the last one that just came to me that preseason's really going to sort out is special teams. Like, yeah. I know they've been mixing up guys at kick return and punt return and like even gunners. Like, that's how a lot of these young guys are going to latch onto the roster. Your fifth wide receiver is probably not going to play a ton of snaps on offense, but he's probably going to play like 50% of snaps on defense. So like some of the guys that get like starting team quotes reps in the preseason and on teams, I think it's going to tell you like what guys are really fighting for spots and who has the best shot at latching on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And like with the new rules, will that change the way they roster special teams? Will that impact who sticks, you know, and who's useful, for lack of a better word, or not? It should be interesting. I agree.
Any final thoughts before we wrap this thing up? I'm going to be in Green Bay on Friday. I'm not going to family night, but I'm going Friday to Saturday just to feel the vibes, feel the aura of being in Green Bay. Bring Vinny, get him a new jersey. But yeah, anything else you got going on for this team that you're thinking of?
I'm very jealous. I miss Green Bay very much. No, I'm excited for another week of practice and getting 10 back there. Just getting the team to kind of gel together again with him, I think will be key. And family night is just always very special for this team. And then we get a preseason game very soon. Very soon. We're coming up on it. So things are starting to come together and the pads are on. The pads are going to come on. So here we are. I think the pads coming on is going to be like a much bigger indication of like who's really excelling, because I think it's really easy, right? It's really easy to look, you know, athletic and speedy and svelte, et cetera, without the pads on. But the pads are a big differentiator. So that'll be key this week. But just happy to have Love back. And all the non-football things are behind this team, and now they can focus on the end goal.
Yeah, well said. That's a good point. Now all the speculation about when will it happen and all those questions are answered. There's no real big question hanging over the Packers. They've got their quarterback locked up for 4 years. They got Kenny Clark extended. And we'll see how things shake out with the rest of the contracts next offseason. But for now, this is the roster and they're Super Bowl contenders. So we'll see. But that is all the time that we have for this week's show. Thank you, as always, for joining us. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. Everywhere you find your favorite podcasts on any of the audio platforms, feel free to check us out there. And if you're here on YouTube, thank you so much for liking and subscribing to the show. We appreciate you so much. And we'll be back next week, maybe with a special guest, to talk about more Packers training camp content and preview the first preseason game against the Browns on Saturday, August 10th. Thank you, as always, and go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go!